Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, 203, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We've yelled a lot about the Giants. We'll continue to do so, taking your phone calls at 888-808-1019. I'm sick to my stomach about it. The Jets as well. They just gave you the schedule, too, is up in the air. The Giants will be playing at 1 o'clock against the Eagles, and the Jets will be playing Miami at 4 o'clock. It sounds like Aaron Rodgers will still be the starter. They got absolutely embarrassed by Buffalo. I'm not sure. I mean, how many different balls just thrown up in the air that were just caught for touchdowns? Like, I mean, just... You know, early on, I thought that Breece Hall was going to have a little bit of a game. He looked like the best he was running all year. That didn't last very long. The offense is completely inept. Aaron Rodgers starts turning the ball over. And the Jets just had one of those games by the end of it. It was just embarrassing. And Josh Allen is trying to make his MVP case against the Jets yet again. And really, I mean, I guess, you know, with the Jets, unfortunately, the conversation, much like the Giants, now is, you know, what do they do moving forward? And the only thing, like, is now the Garrett Wilson stuff is really starting to, you know, obviously he gets the touchdown with, obviously, Aaron Rodgers out of the game. And you get Tyrod Taylor throwing him a touchdown pass. And he makes another very good, you know, guy on him, kind of acrobatic. He's very good with body control. He's very good with all that. But Ian Rappaport had a story before the game that the relationship has kind of been deteriorating ever since the blow-up, the famous blow-up on the sidelines during camp. And they don't talk. And, you know, if Aaron Rodgers comes back, most likely Wilson won't want to be with the New York Jets next year. And I think it's a very interesting conversation because I know I've been pro Aaron Rodgers. And bringing Aaron Rodgers back. And I still am. And I would say, I mean, if it's literally that choice, it seems foolish. Why would you choose the aging 41-year-old quarterback who hasn't done a damn thing for you as opposed to the young wide receiver who's got a world of talent? And clearly he does. And for whatever reason, it hasn't worked this year. But I don't believe, and call me crazy, I don't believe that it's gotten to such... I'm not in the room. I don't know. He has had some targets. He's had some good games early on. He's having a very good year. Like, I know it's only his third season, but he's having arguably the best year of his career. And yes, once Devontae Adams got here, and this I don't think, and this is where, again, I understand he's frustrated and he wants more targets and he wants to be more involved in the offense and he wants to win. And certainly if you listen to the Jets post game or you listen to the Gelbs, he'll tell you that it's not about being sold. Like, they are very pro Zach, they are very pro Garrett Wilson. I understand he wants to win. I understand he's frustrated. He wants to be a part of the offense. And certainly since Devontae Adams came here, his role has been lessened as opposed to, you know, Devontae Adams coming here and, you know, falling in line behind Garrett Wilson. He has taken the lead. And that's why at the beginning of the year, I didn't want Devontae Adams here because I wanted that relationship between him and Rodgers to blossom. I didn't want the former, you know, love interest to come back and work his way into it and hurt the development of the relationship that I thought was going to be the basis of the offense was him and Garrett Wilson. It was Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson. It wasn't working. He was performing well, but they were okay, I suppose. They still had a lot of miscommunication, but it was okay. He was still putting up big numbers for the most part, getting a lot of... you know, yards and stuff, but it just wasn't winning, and it wasn't winning offense. So then at that point, I was like, well, you got to bring in Adams. And here's the thing that, in my mind, is the problem. Rodgers is losing. Rodgers is losing. He's not playing well. And he's trying to justify a career that I think he still has intentions of proceeding with. So clearly he has gone to the guy he knows he has a rapport with, a guy he knows that he can throw it to and that they have, he knows where he's going to be. He knows where he wants to put the ball for Adams. Like, he knows all this stuff where he was still learning it with Garrett Wilson. It wasn't coming as naturally as they thought it might. And now, since he's been here and the season is over, he's doing what's most comfortable to him. I don't think that means Aaron Rodgers is incapable next year starting anew from day one with Adams and Wilson in an offense and figuring out a way to get Wilson more involved. Like, I think this year, I agree, he's probably leaned heavily on Adams because he's clutching at straws to try and have a successful season or a successful end of the season and play well and put up some kind of numbers that he could tell the Jets or anybody else if he has to that I can still play the position. So he's leaned on Adams. That doesn't mean if everybody's back next year that he's incapable of building some sort of offense rapport or, you know, balance between the two. And I think it's completely overblown. He's still having a good year. He's fourth in the NFL in targets. Like, you want to be more involved. I get it, but we're making demands. We're this upset about it. The season's over anyway. Listen, if it gets down to the point where Wilson is absolutely not going to play with him, it's hard to make the choice to keep the 41-year-old quarterback, but I also don't like having ultimatums put to me, and I also don't see why there isn't any reason they can't coexist. And for me, Rodgers is clearly banged up. He's played poorly. He's played well at times. He's still going to give you one of the better offensive quarterback seasons the Jets have had in forever. And for me, I'd rather bring him back, maybe draft a young quarterback or bring in a young quarterback or something, and not pay $49 million to have him not here. But we'll see what the Jets do. But as their season comes to an end, 4 o'clock against Miami next week, it's ugly. I mean, people are calling him selfish. Like, this is where, like, I have all kinds of problems with Aaron Rodgers, right? A lot of the stuff he says, he was very hypocritical last year about saying the Jets need to be about only winning, and he's out there running his mouth down every interview, and they're like, there's definitely no doubt. He's a little hypocritical. He's played terribly for them. He's obviously got to work on his relationship with Garrett Wilson. There's a lot of things wrong, but, like, when you're down 40 points and you turn to your coach who clearly doesn't want to take you out of the game because he's afraid and says, hey, you know, maybe now it's time to put in Tyrod Taylor. Like, people are killing him. Like, it's I saw a thing where he takes himself out of the game for selfish reasons. Selfish reasons. You're down 40 points. You don't get his ass kicked anymore. You take your starting quarterback out of the game when it's 40-0 in the fourth quarter. I mean, these two teams, it's unbelievable. We get embarrassing losses and devastating victories. Like, this is what we get. It could not be worse. Our football scene could not be worse. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Matt in Manhattan. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, hey. I was about as sick as you were earlier today with that Giants game. I think probably the worst part, how many points they were scoring. It made you sick, like, multiple times.
Oh, my. It was unbelievable.
It wasn't just some fluke thing like the Patriots last year.
No, they were playing well. I mean, and listen, let's be fair, though. The Colts were terrible in this game. It was like 3rd and 12, and they allowed Robinson to catch the ball wide open 10 yards down the field, and he just, like, rolled over for the extra 2.5. I was like, how is this possible? Like, it was
terrible.
I mean, he was wide open. Slayton was wide open. Their neighbors is breaking 6-7 tackles for touchdowns. Yep. Like, we haven't seen a glimpse of this all year. Not a glimpse. They're averaging, what, less than 10 points a game at home, something crazy.
It's awful.
And all of a sudden they break out for 40-plus points?
No. The point I wanted to make, though, was, like, look, I talked to you about this before. I'm kind of lukewarm on either of those two quarterbacks, but yeah. I understand the deal. If you have the number one pick and they're there, you have other pieces in place to try to make that happen.
Yeah.
I cannot. I say as a fan, and you may have a different opinion, I cannot trade up for one of those guys. Cannot do it. Find another avenue. But I can't give up next year's number one pick or something like that, which is what you need to go from 4-1. I can't do that on a team that has a million holes and needs everything. They're not a quarterback away. They're a quarterback away from beginning the rebuild.
I totally disagree with that statement. No team is not a quarterback away. Would you have said that about Washington last year?
No, I would not.
You would have thought that they were a quarterback away? Their roster.
You
would have said the same thing, right? You would have said that, well, Washington's not really a quarterback away, and yet here we are, 11 wins, no. And they're in the playoffs.
That's true.
Like, you're never, not, the statement, they're not a quarterback away, I just fundamentally disagree with under any circumstance.
If you want to strike that, that's cool.
Okay.
But I guess my first
point. I get your point.
It's just too much to give away.
It's very difficult.
Because there are other avenues.
Such as?
Well, less attractive ones that you've mentioned, but the fact of the matter is it all goes back to nobody knows if the number one quarterback drafted is going to be a star. No one knows if it's going to be a bust.
Correct.
That's not the reason to discount the opinions of experts, even though they can often be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do know is that there's not a unanimous consensus, which can also be wrong. We know that there's no consensus around either one of these two guys as being a big star. And I can't. You just put a team with so many needs, and the track record's bad. If you look at the history of teams that have traded the number one or number two for a quarterback, there's few success stories.
Happens to be the New York Giants, though.
Of course, I'm very aware of that.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't, Matt. Here's the thing, Matt. I understand your logic completely. That's what's bothering me now is what they had for free might cost them a first round pick. That's the difference.
There's about a 50-50 chance, though, next week that the Giants move up at least one spot. If you look at who's playing who, that could very well happen. And that brings up a whole bunch of other possibilities.
Well, Cleveland's playing Baltimore, and New England
they're not going to win.
Right.
And New England could win.
I mean, if Buffalo really doesn't care. And the Titans, the Titans are favored to win. So the Titans could
win. Two of those. No, you have to also offer the possibility that the Giants could win. Unfortunately.
Oh, absolutely.
But if you take all those together, I feel like 50-50 that they can move up.
I know, but say they move up. Say Tennessee, even Tennessee, because that's a team you would assume is drafting a quarterback. Say New England loses, say Cleveland loses. Obviously, Cleveland's going to lose to Baltimore, you would think. Crazier things have happened, but you would think. So say Tennessee loses. And now you're drafting third behind Cleveland and New England. And New England's not drafting a quarterback. Someone is going to trade up for that pick. I can't sit back at 3 and hope New England takes Hunter 1. Like, you can't do that. Even at 3, I need to be in the top 2. Now, can you get what would New England take? It depends on what New England wants and how badly they want Hunter. Like, if they believe he's this generational talent who could help them both offensively and defensively, and they want to draft him, and so they're willing to move down to 3 because they know the two quarterbacks are going to go 1-2 and they can get him at 3, well, maybe they'll take less from someone who would be coming from higher down the board. Maybe they'd be willing to take just a second round pick. But here's my overall point. I hate it. Part of the reason I'm sick today is because I think very possibly the Giants could be trading away draft assets, possibly even a first round pick, for what they had for free before the game yesterday. It's bothering the hell out of me. But that doesn't change the fact that if Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are the ones still here making that pick, and they love one of the two quarterbacks, if they honestly love him, not because they know it's their job depends on it and they need the time, like if they genuinely believe that this is a star that they cannot pass up on, then I don't care what you have to do. You have to trade for him. The idea that you go into it saying, I'm sorry, you can't trade for, you can't trade to move up, is you have to be able to do that.
Would you trade for Drake May?
Yes, I would. You think they would do that?
I think the best move for the Pats is trade for Drake, trade Drake May, draft Shador, and hope you get Travis Hunter. And now you have Shador and Hunter.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't know if I would give, because of the extra year off the contract, I don't know if I'd give the same package I would for the number one pick.
But let's say it's just your pick.
Yeah.
You're trading this year's first.
Yeah.
And so now you're trading, let's say it's three or four for Shador, for Drake May. And now New England can go get Shador and probably Travis Hunter. And then you just have Drake May, and then you have the rest of your assets.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if I guess I'd be open to that, sure.
I think that's more realistic than...
I was willing to trade more than that to get him last year.
Right. And we've seen flashes. You don't know what he is for sure, but
I mean, if it's a third pick, you want to trade a third pick for him?
You're getting your quarterback. Otherwise, you're not getting your quarterback.
No, I get it.
I think that's more realistic than a McCarthy trade. I think the Vikings should tag Sam Darnold. They should learn from the Giants and say, we can't give you this giant contract.
No, definitely.
Right,
yeah. Minnesota?
Minnesota should tag Sam
and
hold on to JJ.
Yeah, probably. I think they might just give him a contract, though.
Give Darnold a contract?
Yeah.
But that's my point. They should not do that.
Well, I mean, it depends on how you view it. Because if you view him as the guy, if you believe he's the guy, he's young, you know.
I know, but it's 1 year, so what's one more year?
But it's another year of high. You want to win in these next couple of years. You know what the quarterback cap is? It's a killer.
Right, it's like 50-something.
Yeah. If you sign him to a contract, you can make this number very low on this year and go out and spend more money and make your team a Super Bowl team this year. That's the only negative to it. I hear what you're saying. Not a long-term deal. Maybe Sam turns back into a pumpkin, but you're going to pay him $50 million for that. You're not going to be able to do anything else.
Right, but the alternative is possibly sitting here 2 years from now exactly where the Giants are, and you traded away J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, but, I mean, Sam Darnold, one, was a better prospect than Daniel Jones, and two, has led this team to...
He's been better than Jones was that year.
If they win the one seed and they go to a Super Bowl, if they go to a Super Bowl with Sam Darnold, why is he not your guy?
Yeah, no, you're right. It's better than obviously.
I mean, it's not like they have it. It's not Kirk Cousins. He's still a young kid. You can have him for the next however long.
Yeah, I think he's my age.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's still young. You would pay him, and you wouldn't have to be stuck to 1 year at $50 million. As Tiki says, the cap is fungible. You can mess around with it a little bit, and then you trade J.J. McCarthy for a pick, and now you've created cap space and got more assets, and you believe in him.
God, but, I hope they beat the Lions. That would be awesome. Like, the Lions have been waiting so long to be this good. Just to lose to a division opponent, to lose out on the one seed, would just be beautiful.
I guess. I'm kind of rooting for the Lions, aren't you? Oh no, are you one of the Evan Jet fans? Evan would rather the Bills. Evan certainly was at one point the Patriots, but once a team wins and he's used to them winning, that's fine. The Lions have never been to a Super Bowl. The Lions are one of the few franchises that a Jets fan can look at and say, you're worse than us.
Yeah, I like clowning on the Lions and the Browns and stuff.
If they go win a Super Bowl, you can't clown on them anymore.
I do like that the Lions have gotten it right with the coach and the quarterback, and it's a functional organization, because it proves, and even Washington, right? It proves that it's not a curse, that if you do the right thing, you get the right people in here, and you make the right decisions, you too can be good. So from that perspective, I'm enjoying the Lions season. I'm enjoying the Washington season. Yeah. But, I'd like to see them crash and burn at the end.
As opposed to Minnesota and Sam Darnold? And see Sam Darnold go to a Super Bowl?
I love Sam at SC. I was dying for the Jets to draft him. I met him when he was here.
I wanted the Giants to draft him. I was a big over...
They should have.
They should have.
Because he would have sat behind Eli...
Yeah, for a year.
For a year or two, would have gotten developed, would have had probably a still decent Odell Beckham when he started, probably decent weapons around him, and would have developed into a fine quarterback for the Giants. He would have been the Giants quarterback for 15 years.
We don't know that, but at the time, when they drafted Saquon, I was screaming to the heavens to draft Sam Darnold. Steve in Rockland, what's up, Steve?
Oh, Chris, You know, we're sitting here today, and I'm watching the game, and I said, you know, it looks to me like the Colts thought that the Giants were just going to roll over.
Yeah, it might have been something like that. Yeah, it definitely could have been.
I mean, and I think that the more that the Giants applied themselves, the more the Colts will, no, it's not happening. And then, and I mean, stunned, you know, it takes a lot after a certain point when it comes to watching games to be shocked by something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And never mind that there were more touchdown passes thrown than incompletions.
Yeah, I know.
And then they come out and return the kickoff.
Yeah, at one point I think he had 7 completions and 3 touchdowns. I was like, what is going on?
And we're sitting, and then they return the kickoff.
Yeah.
And I said to somebody, you know, this is great, but what happens to that draft pick? You know, I don't look at that tank. I just don't consider it. But here's something else, okay? Because people are knocking Dable, and something came up, like a silver lining statistic, that the Giants have more long drives of X amount of plays plus than either any other team or the second most. I mean, there are just all of these things that suggest that, yeah, Dable probably does have an idea of what he was doing.
Yeah.
But here's what I wanted to say. And then somebody said, and then I'm sitting there, Malik Nabers this, Malik Nabers, and everything they said was true. And I looked at this, and after they ran down all of these things that were are true about him, I said, but there's only one problem. They were like, what? I said, he's not a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't help it, right? That's it. But here's what I want to ask.
And then watching, you know, Penix last night and Bo Nix, the entire second half of the season. They should have drafted a quarterback.
Right. So here's what I'm getting to, and this is what I'm asking you. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not really see that much of the Broncos at the beginning of the year when Nix was struggling a little bit,
yes.
You know, and he was okay. So a lot of that was ironed out, and Saturday was the day where okay, the Broncos are going to be on. I want to see this guy, and all I could think of was what was it that Joe Shane, what was it that they didn't like?
Mm-hmm.
I can understand Penix, the injury history, all that, you know, before he even plays it down in the NFL. I get that. But with Nix, I was sitting there, and yeah, you know, maybe a more experienced player maybe would have made those extra 2 or 3 plays. And the Broncos could, but I thought generally speaking, for a rookie performer, he acquitted himself.
No, he's
like quite well under the circumstances.
No doubt.
And all I could think of was what didn't they like about this guy? Because I said, I know at least one person right now who would rather have Bo Nix than Malik Nabers. Okay. I'm just saying.
Yeah. No. Anybody. Now, look, he didn't have a grade to be a top 6 pick. There were really the 3 quarterbacks there. I wish they would have drafted him. I wish they would have drafted Penix. I wish we were talking about the Giants developing a young quarterback, Daniel Jones playing for, you know, however long this year, you know, it's probably the same amount of games, and then going to Penix, going to Bo Nix. Now, what I will say about Bo Nix is he went to a team with an excellent defense, and he went to a team with one of the better offensive-minded head coaches we've seen in a generation, in Sean Payton. And from everything I've read and seen with Sean Payton was, he held no punches with Bo Nix. He threw Bo Nix right into the deep end of the pool. He didn't pull back the game plan or the playbook. Like, he just threw it all at him. He said, this is it. I'm pretending you are my starting quarterback. You are not a rookie. You're my guy. And he just threw him into the deep end and made it as difficult as possible, didn't scale back anything, didn't make anything easy for him, didn't roll out and eliminate half the field, none of that stuff. He was just the guy, and it took a few weeks. took a little, and but even, I mean, they were winning games while they were doing it. They got lucky. The Jets are inept and found a way to, you know, they were able to win that game. Even when the offense was still ugly and Bo Nix was learning, they found a way to win a couple games, and then he turned it on, and now, you know, they're going up against the Kansas City team that's already been announced. They're not playing any of their starters for a chance to go to the postseason, and he's been great. Now, again, that's Sean Payton, but I was hoping Brian Daboll, I can't expect him to be Sean Payton necessarily, but an offensive-minded guy who could get the best out of young quarterbacks. And last year, being at the top, I thought they should have been more open to draft. Like, and especially having the window and being a little bit of a fly on the wall, watching Hard Knocks off-season edition, you got the impression that they weren't in on anyone but May or Daniels, and that was it. I mean, again, you're not privy to every conversation they have with that show, but I don't think Bo Nix's name came up once. I don't even remember, you know, Michael Penix really coming up much. It was once they knew, and then the draft plan was, if Jaden Daniels is there, we take him. If not, we get Daniel Jones a weapon. Or they accept the trade. It was like, they, you know, we can either trade up and draft May, or one of them fall to us, or we're getting a weapon for Daniel Jones. Like, they didn't even consider Bo Nix. That's my biggest argument right now. The best counterpoint to me saying I still want to keep Brian Daboll is that, and Joe Shane, it's because I want them to draft and develop a young quarterback, which is what they did in Buffalo and what made them plausible to get hired as New York Giants GM and head coach. The biggest knock against them is they allowed Bo Nix to pass. They should have done this last year. We should be well into this. We should be getting ready for Bo Nix's second year. And that's why they can't let it pass again. And that's why yesterday was so devastating. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back with your phone calls next.
Got any ideas that will work to help your favorite teams? Let them know about it by calling 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 2:34. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I got you another half hour or so. Allison Chong will come your way at 3, and he'll take you to the morning show at 6. 888-808-1019. Talking mainly our frustration. And now, I mean, now you start to pivot to what the Giants should actually do. Now we've cried enough. It ruined my freaking day. I was miserable. It was the low point of my fandom at any... I don't know if I've ever disliked myself more. Like, I hated the team. I hated myself. I was applauding touchdowns for... I was mad as hell when Jonathan Taylor dropped that pitch back for a two-point conversion. That was going to tie the game. It was going to tie the game. It was a brilliant play call, and I was mad. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm pissed right now that the Giants are going to win the game. Like, this sucks, man. I hate it. And I blame them for it. All the weeks of being... It's not my fault. It's their fault. They shouldn't put me in this position. But now that we've already established that, and I think you're crazy. Like, honestly, I think you are crazy if you are happy about yesterday's win. I honestly think if you're a Giant fan and you're pleased with yesterday's win, I think you're absolutely nuts. I think you are too focused on, you know, fans, we win, we want wins, blah, blah, blah. No, I want what's best for the franchise. And you can't argue that the better draft pick is more valuable than 3-13. Like, I understand you might not like the draft picks. Like, think about what the alternative, 3-13, that's what you're happy about. A third win in week 17. That's more valuable than what exactly? It's not more valuable than anything. But now, where do the Giants go? And do they move further back than 4 if they win this game next week against the Eagles, who have nothing to play for on Sunday? Because if they do, I don't know what they do. If they're picking 6th or 7th or 8th, I don't know where they go for a quarterback. Because make no mistake, figuring out who the quarterback is the most important thing, and that's not a decision I want to kick the can down. I don't want to figure that out in a year, 2 years. It doesn't work that way, man. So I wanted them to draft a quarterback last year. I'm still lamenting that they didn't, watching Bo Nix play, watching, like, last night was the worst way to cap. It was the worst. You know what last night was? Last night was that final tequila shot after a night of drinking. Like, it's the worst thing you could do. If you're all out all night drinking with your buddies and you're drinking beer or you're drinking whatever and someone's like, you know, the attractive girl at the end of the night's like, come on, tequila shots. And you go and do it because you're an idiot and you want to impress her, or you're just saying yes and you take that tequila shot at the end of the night, you're done. It's the worst thing you could do. Drinking beer all night and then you throw a tequila shot just for what the hell? Just for, you know, poops and giggles at the end? You're an idiot. That's what last night's Sunday Night Football game was. Because you got both of it. You got Jaden Daniels, the guy they wanted to draft and couldn't draft because they won meaningless games last year against Green Bay. Tommy Cutlets beating Green Bay, beating New England, beating Philadelphia the last game of the year. And that's what kept them from getting the great player who's now led his team to the postseason, who was incredible in the second half of that game. Incredible. And beat me in fantasy. And then you get the other spectrum on the guy they passed up on Michael Penix. His second NFL start. Throwing touchdown passes to a tight end who hasn't caught one since his days in Florida. Who's the most underachieving big-time offensive weapon prospect to, you know, hit the draft in years in Pitts. And he finds a way to get him in the end zone at the end of the game to tie it and send it to overtime. Like, I mean, and if it wasn't for a lousy field goal kicker, they win that game. Like, Michael Penix had a very impressive second start of his NFL career. So as a Giant fan, you lose the draft pick. You win a meaningless game. It might cost you drafting one of these two studs. The same thing happened last year, and I got to end the night watching the guy who they should have drafted and then the young kid they could have drafted. Play better football than we've seen any Giant quarterback play all year, except for today when Drew Lock decided to play like Peyton Manning. I mean, you can't make it up. Kelvin in Bergen County. What's up, Kelvin?
What's going on, man? How's everything?
It's okay, I suppose. I'll live.
I'm just as miserable as you, so I can accompany you there. It has been a miserable being a Giant
fan. And we do love misery. We do love company.
I was watching the game, and I was just... First of all, I was cursing on the TV to begin with every time... The Colts would, every time the Giants would score, I would just
The interception on the Colts' first possession. I'm like, that's not good. This team doesn't turn the ball over. They don't have interceptions, and he's making diving interceptions. I'm like, that's not good. It's not good.
And then Jonathan Vilma was like, oh yeah, don't bring the negativity about Peyton. I'm like, shut up. You know what? Shut up.
Yeah.
The thing to me is just like the logic. It's just like, are you really sitting here seriously telling me that tanking is not the right thing to do at this point in the season?
Yeah, no,
I mean, like, you really think it's what, you really questioning my intelligence about this right now?
Yeah, that's what they want to, listen, Kelvin, they want to, because I'm sorry, I was listening to it and people were telling me I respect Bob Papa. I know Carl Banks has been all over social media. I respect the hell out of Carl Banks. I do. Both of them have been around this team. Both of them have been around football. I wouldn't try and make the argument that I know more than them on any subject surrounding football. I respect the hell out of them. They're great at their jobs. They're with the team. And Carl's a former player. And I know Sean O'Hara and whoever else. You know, I get it. But you just... there's indisputable facts. There's logic. You cannot tell me. Especially watching last year, because they won some of these games, right? If you're going to tell me bring, you know, a winning culture, they won a road playoff game 2 years ago and opened up the season 40-0 against the Cowboys and had a miserable year. And then last year, they won a handful of games. They beat Green Bay, who went on to win playoff games, beat the Cowboys on the road, almost had another playoff game won. One of the better teams in the NFC this year. Like, they went out and beat the Green Bay Packers. They won the meaningless game against New England. They won the meaningless game against their nemesis, the Eagles, at the end of the year. What did that winning culture bring them? The worst season in 100 years. You can't sell me on it means anything for next season. The winning means nothing. And you can't tell me 3-13 is more valuable than draft picks. You just can't. And it's not just the top pick. It's every round. They get better picks in every round of the draft. It's just a logic you can't argue. Sorry. So if you don't like people who are rooting for losses, tell them not to lose two of their first 13 games, to win two of their first 15 games. Don't blame me. Blame the Giants for putting me in this position. They made it obvious. So to Bob Papa, Carl Banks, anybody else who wonders why we feel this way, there's no real reason to wonder. I'm sure, Dottino is another guy I love. Love you, Paulie. If you think the Giants are better off winning that game, you're nuts. I'm sorry, it just doesn't make any sense. If your point is the players aren't going to lose, the coaches aren't going to lose, I get that, sure. No one's asking them to go out there and lose on purpose. No one's saying, hey, Drew Lock, why don't you throw an interception on this play? Hey, why don't you just fumble it? Like, of course. They're going to go out there and play their best. Everyone gets that. But you can't argue that as a fan, the Giant fan should have been sitting there rooting for a victory. You can't argue it. It doesn't help them. Do you want to help the team or not? If you're a fan, should you be rooting for what's best for the team or what's best for the moment? Philip in Brooklyn, what's up, Phil?
Thanks for taking my call. I have to get it off my chest also, but you did make me laugh when you talked about the running back for the Colts, dropping a two-point conversion.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for the Colts to win.
Yes.
I'm rooting for the Raiders to win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rooting for Cleveland to win.
Yep.
I'm rooting for Tennessee to win.
Yep.
And I'm rooting for the Giants to lose. And none of those happened. So we go from first.
Well,
to
I mean,
fourth.
To be fair, the Jaguars did lose. So I mean, that's the Jaguars did win rather. So that's one of the teams. No, I right. get you. No, listen, it's a miserable day to be a Giant fan. I totally agree. Win, loss, or win, lose, or draw, whatever the case may be. These days stink because you feel compelled. At least I do. To root against them because it's in their best interest, and rooting against your team sucks.
Right. Now, like you said, going forward, hard decisions to make. Right now, they have the fourth pick. Who knows? It could drop further than that. I'm hoping the Eagles win and they let Saquon break, the single season rushing record. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to happen, but
I hope he runs for 1,000 yards. I hope he runs for 500 yards on the day and scores 6 touchdowns. I'm not kidding.
Exactly.
I'm not kidding. I hope he runs for 500 yards and scores 6 touchdowns.
Who is making the decisions for the Giants? Because obviously, it seemed like the GM and the coach were either told or they thought that they could turn Daniel Jones into mm-hmm. Josh Allen. They kept, whether or not it was their decision to keep him for another year this year or not, or it came from higher-ups, I don't know. Now, going forward,
mm-hmm.
what are they going to do? Do they go after somebody like Justin Fields as a free agent?
Yeah.
Who is really making the decisions? If they fire the coach,
yeah,
they need to get rid of the GM, too.
I agree with you. And there's been reports that the GM is safer than the coach. I don't understand them. Because if I had to pick which one of the two has done a better job, while it's not a great job the last 2 years, I would still say Brian Daboll. Now, Joe Shane had a good draft this past year, but his drafts have not been that good. The first two were bad. He's had epic busts. His first two draft picks have been terrible. Evan Neal's a flat-out bust, miserable player, can't play the game, doesn't belong on the field. That's a top 10 pick who doesn't belong on the field. I mean, that's a terrible pick. And Kayvon Thibodeau is just, at best, a pedestrian pass rusher. Where, I mean, he's worthy of being on the team, he's worthy of being out there, and if you drafted him in the fourth round, you might even pat yourself on the back. But when you draft him in the top 6, suddenly, not that good a pick. So, like, But to your question, I think Joe Shane's in power. I think Joe Shane was told, I mean, not that he would even get rid of Daniel Jones on the fourth year of his contract. I mean, he was told, you're going to play Daniel Jones year one, and let's see if Brian Daboll can do something with him. I think that was, you know, they couldn't make a decision then. They were going to play Daniel Jones. Not that you would as a, you know, a rookie quarterback on his fourth year. Like, you weren't going to do that. But they decided not to pick up his fifth-year option. And then they decided to give him the contract after they won a road playoff game. Now, could you make the argument it would have been a tough sell to tell an owner they knew loved the kid who just watched him lead them to the playoffs and win a road playoff game that we're moving on from him? That probably would have been a tough conversation to have with John Mara. I'm sure John Mara would have been like, what the hell do you mean? We just won with him. I knew he was going to be great, and you proved me right. Great job, man. I love you. I'm so happy you're here. You won Coach of the Year, and you turned the guy I knew could be good into good. Now you want to get rid of him? And I'm not saying that's what happened, because they signed him. And I think it's completely up. I think Joe Shane is allowed to do what he wants. He clearly was allowed to let go of Saquon Barkley, despite the owner being against it. I don't think John Mara has told Joe Shane what to do. That's on them for giving him the contract. Totally. On them. I feel like they felt like they were in a tight spot, but they have to. And moving forward, however, if they decide to keep him, Joe Shane's figuring out how to get a quarterback. That's going to be on Joe Shane. No doubt. And yeah, and Giant fans, you have to come to a reality here. Who gives a damn about Saquon Barkley breaking a rushing record against you? Like, honestly, who cares? Good for him. Good for him. The Giants are 3-13. I don't care what happens. I don't care. Why would you care? They're so bad. They're so inept. We are flat out flabbergasted that they were able to score 40 points. I literally can't believe it. Who cares? They're terrible. And I want them to lose. So if Saquon Barkley comes in and runs for and breaks the rushing record and scores 5 touchdowns, bravo. Congratulations on a great season. Who cares? I hope he does. I honestly hope he does. Because I don't know if they have another reason to play, and I need them to beat the Giants. And if you're a Giant fan hoping they beat the Eagles and that you stuff him and don't allow him to get any yards and he doesn't get the rushing title, you're being stubborn. And you're biting your nose off to spite your face because it doesn't matter. Give me two. Here's two options. Saquon Barkley rushes for 5 yards on 40 carries. You completely embarrass him and stuff him and don't allow him to get the rushing yard and completely give him the worst day of his NFL career. And then you're picking 9th. Or Saquon Barkley runs for 400 yards and high steps half of those yards, rubs it in your face, points at Brian Daboll and Joe Shane while he's crossing the end zone, breaks the record, scores 4 touchdowns, and the Eagles beat the Giants and the Giants are drafting 3rd.
You're dead to me.
If you think you're better off holding Saquon Barkley from the record and picking 9th as opposed to allowing him to break it and picking 3rd, I think you're crazy. I think you're not. I don't think you really have the Giants' best interest at heart. You just don't want to be embarrassed, or you just want to feel like you're. I have no idea what you'd think. Jeff in Louisiana. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, Chris. I just want to say my thinking aligns very closely with yours. And I'm sort of just conflicted about the Giants winning, and it's frustrating to feel that way about a Giants victory. I had one question and one point.
Yeah.
The question I had was, what do you think about Jalen Milroe from the University of Alabama? Say the Giants remain in the 4th position at the end of next week. Would he be a viable option for the future for the Giants? And the point that I was going to make was, if I could be wrong about this, but my memory is that when Joe Shane first came in, one of the things he said, or our main theme was, we want to select really good players who have the mentality, the physicality, the toughness, and the character to be worthy. And then we want to keep them. We want to develop them. And then we want to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching too many Giants that have been developed and let go. You know, some of it because of sellers' cap issues.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair, Jeff, and I want to get to as many calls, so I'm sorry if I'm brief with you. Milroe, to me, if you want to take him in the third, I don't know where he's projected to go. I don't view him as a guy I'm prepared to give the job to, whether it be this coming season or behind a veteran and then next year. Like, I don't view him as that kind of guy. If you want to take him later in the draft, a third or a fourth round pick, and take a chance, get him in the building with Dable and see what happens. Listen, you could do worse. You got to find a quarterback. So if you want to draft a quarterback at the top and then take one again in the fourth, like, I'm okay with that because you need to find your quarterback. You can't have too many quarterbacks. So, but I don't view him as someone to be the heir apparent. He would have to come in here late in the round and then impress everyone and be given a chance. As far as, yes, well, they didn't keep Saquon because of Joe Shane's belief in running backs, quite simply. You heard him tell Frank Gore during the Hard Knocks thing. They were at the combine or something, and he told Frank Gore there, he's like, look, yeah, but he's going to be 27, and he ran a lot. He ran a lot of college. He's run a lot. Like, you know, he just doesn't believe in giving these guys long-term deals. And right now, it seems stupid. We'll see how healthy he stays or how good he is for how long moving forward. But clearly right now, it looks bad. If you care, I still think it was the right move. But and then the real one to me is McKinney. That one, once you let Saquon go, I thought they would have kept McKinney. He's a very talented player. But they haven't kept their guys so far. They haven't really had a chance with all their drafts. It's only been 3 years of drafting guys from Joe Shane. Jose in Newburgh. What's up, Jose?
Man, remember Jerome, the caller back in the day?
Of course, Jerome from the Bronx.
Jerome from the Bronx, man. I want to channel like some of his. Man, we had one job, one assignment, man. What the hell is the boss, the main man who owns this thing? Why is he not telling his people, I want the number one pick? The number one pick. From there, we can choose in the number one spot in the second round. No, number one spot in the third round. What are we doing? This is ridiculous. In a season of a disaster, we have another disaster.
Yep. No, and it's even Jose, that's tough, though. Like, we have to. Like, what is the owner going to say?
Well, he could tell them your jobs are safe despite you losing.
Correct. That, which is what I wanted him to say when back in, I've been saying that. Let's not think he's coaching for his job. What you could have said is, you know, neighbors has a toe. He needs to sit out. Like, that's as far as you can't tell
and
them to lose on purpose.
You'd be more inclined to say that if your jobs were safe.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. Maybe if we weren't flying planes over the building, they wouldn't have been so motivated to win. I hope we enjoyed those planes and the bags on our heads. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Rami. No thank you to you, New York Giants. No thanks. Ruin my day. I'll be back with you on Tuesday. Me and Keith. Tuesday and Wednesday, rocking you through New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, right here on The Fan in the Afternoon. Keith and myself will be with you then. Until then, good luck. Godspeed. And get ready for more ugly football come next Sunday. Maybe we'll have some baseball stuff to talk about till then. Hey, the Knicks are good. See you later. Bye-bye. Sports Radio 101.